So this morning, here at our Govardhan Echo Village in Maharashtra, India, we are very blessed to be discussing the glories of Srila Dvaitacharya, one of the principal members of the Panchatattva, who descended to disseminate the Yuga Dharma of chanting Hare Krishna to the people of this age. We've chosen a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, of course, from Adi Lila, chapter 1, text 13. I think all over the world today, devotees are discussing the glories of Dvaitacharya, and I'm pretty sure that this is one of the main verses that the speakers are speaking from. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Go Bhaktivindam. Advaitam Harinad Vaidhad Acharyam Bhakti Samsanat Bhakta Avataram Isham Twam Advaita Acharyam Ashure. Advaitam, known as Advaita Harina, with Lord Hari. Advaitat, from being non-different. Acharyam, known as Acharya. Bhakti Samsanat, from the propagation of devotional service to Krishna. Bhakta Avataram, the incarnation of a devotee. Isham, to the Supreme Lord. Twam, to him. Advaita Acharyam, to Advaita Acharya. Ashraye, I surrender. Translation: because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee. Therefore, I take shelter of him. Please repeat. Because he is non-different from Hari,
because he is non-different from Hari,
the Supreme Lord,
he is called Advaita.
And because he propagates the cult of devotion,
he is called Acharya.
He is the Lord,
and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee.
Therefore,
I take shelter of him.
There's no purport, but on the strength of other purports by Srila Prabhupada throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we will speak on this divine personality. Om Gyan Chmedandasya Ginangana Shalakaya Chaksun Militam Jainatasmai Sigurave Maha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishram Shtapitam Vena Bhutale Shvayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Shvabhadanti Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama. So again today we are celebrating the auspicious appearance of Sri Advaitacharya. As we mentioned, one of the principal members of the Panchatattva. Prabhupada said the Lord in five features. And Advaitacharya is a very important and prominent personality in many of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As a matter of fact, he's mentioned 820 times in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. For those of you who are into statistics, 820 times he's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When it comes time for the Lord to descend into this world, he always sends devotees before him to set the scene. In one lecture, Prabhupada said, before Krishna comes, either as Swayam Bhagavan, as the original personality of a Godhead, or disguised as a devotee, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Kali Yuga, Prabhupada said he always sends an advance party. It's almost a military term that you, before you go somewhere, then you send the advance party to set things up, set the stage, so to speak. So Dvaitacharya was one such devotee who came very early, even before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Advaitacharya was 52 years older, or rather he was 52 years old when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and he lived for 125 years. And from this verse which we just chanted, we can understand Sri Advaitacharya's divinity. Because he's non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he's called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he's called Acharya. And he is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee. Therefore, we take shelter of him. In more simple terms, Advaitacharya is very special because he's described as an incarnation of Mahavishnu. Number one. And number two, he's also an expansion of Sadashiva. It's interesting, these divine personalities are combinations of different aspects of Krishna's personality. Who is Sadashiva? Sadashiva is an expansion of Krishna in Vaikuntha as Lord Shiva. So actually Advaitacharya is Krishna. As such, although he was very old, I mean, of course, the Lord's never old, but for pastime pleasures, he may appear as a baby, he may appear as an older personality, but he always maintains his divinity as and all his opulences as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Advaitacharya, this incarnation of Sadashiva, this incarnation of Mahavishnu avatar, although he was quite old, he was still very beautiful. The same was true of Srila Prabhupada. Whenever we would see Srila Prabhupada, although he was in his late 70s or early 80s, he always appeared youthful. It was inconceivable. He was always very effulgent. You couldn't tell Prabhupada's age. One time Prabhupada was walking across the street in London with his disciples, and one Bubby. What's a Bobby? A Bobby's an English policeman. He grabbed Shyamasundara Prabhu's arm and said, look, your teacher is glowing like the sun. So when the soul becomes uncovered, the brilliance of the soul is manifest. One time Prabhupada said that the soul is more brilliant than 10,000 suns rising simultaneously. So what to speak of the Supreme Lord himself, who's the source of the Brahma Jyoti? So Advaitacharya, he was very, very, very beautiful, despite his elderly appearance. And actually in Chaitanya Bhagavat, the author, Vrindavan Das Thakur, it's described that one time Srinivasacharya, of course, Srinivasacharya appeared later, he appeared after the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srinivas, Shamananda Pandit, and Narottam Das Thakur, they were the original second generation. We always talk about our second generation, the Gurukul boys and girls. Now they're in their 30s and 40s. This was the original second generation. Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, and Shyamananda Pandit, they carried on the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after his and the other members of the Panchayat Tattva's departure. But one time it's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat that Srinivasacharya had a dream about Advaita Acharya. And in the dream it's described in Chaitanya Bhagavata that he was mesmerized by the beauty of Sri Advaita Prabhu Acharya. It's described that Advaita Acharya had the physique of a golden mountain. He had painted tilak on his forehead, and he had a garland of tulsi hanging around his neck, and his long arms were like the trunk of an elephant, and his broad chest, thin waist, and beautiful legs charmed the people of the world. So we shouldn't think of Advaita Acharya as an old man, decrepit and unable to function, as many of us are experiencing in our trimester, in the twilight of our life. You know, the body breaks down. No, the Lord is always Lord. As a baby, he can perform miraculous pastimes, lifting over downhill, killing putana. His godhood is not diminished. And the same with Advaita Acharya. He's an expansion of Mahavishnu, Mahavishnu avatar. So this was just for pastime pleasures. Mahavishnu appeared like that, and he, in the dream of Srinivasacharya, which we take as factual, he appeared extremely beautiful. So if you study these shastras very carefully, there's not a lot of history about Advaita Acharya when he was young. Although it is mentioned that before his birth, his mother, whose name was Labha Dasi, that'd be a nice name for a new initiate, Labha Dasi. She had a dream when she was pregnant with Advaita Acharya. And in the dream, Yamaraj appeared in her womb and asked Advaita Acharya, who was present as an unborn child, Yamaraj asked Advaita Acharya, "What is your purpose for appearing in this world?" It is amazing that the Lord would appear here in this material world. It's the opposite of the spiritual world. The spiritual world is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, and this world is temporary, full of ignorance and suffering. So why would he, who is the source of all rasa, enjoying loving pastimes with devotees in the eternal spiritual sky, where every step is a dance, every word is a song, and there's a festival every day, why would he appear in the world which he describes in Bhagavad Gita as Dukkalayam Ashashvatam? Dukkalayam Ashashvatam, Krishna says, this material world is temporary and full of suffering. So why would the Lord, who is the source of all transcendental pleasure and loving pastimes, come here? And the answer is out of his compassion. Because who are we? Put quite simply, we're all parts and parcels of the Lord, we're all sons and daughters of the Lord. And Prabhupada said one time, the Lord is more anxious that we come back to the spiritual world than we are. So out of his infinite mercy, paritunaya sadunam vinashai traduskritam, to mainly deliver his devotees, annihilate the miscreants, and reestablish the principles of Dharma, he comes. But in those three purposes, Prabhupada very clearly explains in several purports, his main purpose is to deliver his devotees. Because to annihilate the miscreants, he doesn't have to come personally. He can just create a famine or a flood or a worldwide disease, need to come personally. To establish Dharma, it took him only 45 minutes to speak the Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence of Dharma. Dhammantu sakshat bhagavat panitam. But for the Lord, no one can establish Dharma. But he did it on a battlefield in, 45 minutes for an hour. So Prabhupada said the real purpose the Lord comes is out of love for his devotees. That's the most amazing thing. So when Yamaraj was in the womb of Labha Devi, asking Advaita Acharya, "What are you doing here in the material world?" It's like you might find some important person in society, the prime minister, the president, or here we have chief ministers. You might find them in a quote-unquote bad part of town, right? There's the good part and there's the bad parts of town where nefarious activities go on. You would naturally say, what's a nice person like you do, you doing in a place like this? We have that saying in English. What's a nice person like you doing in a place like this? You'd be surprised. Well, how is it that the Lord or his devotees who are as pure as the Lord, where do they come? They come out of compassion. And thank God they do, otherwise we would rot here in material existence forever. So the child, the baby, the embryo, and again remember that the Lord is never conditioned by material nature. He's always the Lord in all, whatever phase he's in here in material world. He replied very eloquently, "My dear Yamaraj, I have come to this world to begin the chanting of Hare Krishna as a means to remove the suffering of Kali Yuga. And also, I intend to make the Lord of all that be descend into this world." These are the primary functions. Actually, there's many pastimes of Vidyacharya. We could go on for hours and hours and hours, but it's not possible. But you can read Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavata today to learn more, or just relish more his pastimes. But primarily he came in to help begin the chanting of Hare Krishna, and to, he's most famous for pleading for the Lord to come into the age of Kali. Because Krishna is Tri-Yuga Avatar. He's famous as Tri-Yuga Avatar. We often say, isn't it? Tri-Yuga Avatar. It means that he comes in three ages. But Kali Yuga is such a fallen age that he doesn't come. He comes at the very end as the Kalki Avatar and just cuts everybody's head off and gives them the chance to get liberated, the big demons. But he's Tri-Yuga Avatar. But Krishna Vanam Tusha Krishnam Shango Bhanga Shaparshadam Yagnai Sankirtan Prayar Jantihi Shumeda Shaha. There are verses in Vedic literatures which confirm that the Lord does come in Kali Yuga, but he comes a little disguised. He comes as a devotee to teach us the process of devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why doesn't he just come directly as God? Because there's a rampant disease in this age. It's called impersonalism. Tatvai Vasami, thou art that. You are that Supreme Lord, you are God. The philosophy of Shankaracharya is present actually all over the world. We chant like that. We glorify Prabhupada who's come to the West and his prana mantra to destroy impersonalism and voidism. It's present even in modern day science, which is also an atheistic philosophy. So, had the Lord come as the Lord, people would want to imitate him. Now we have a good person that we can imitate and become him. We can become God. No. He doesn't come as God because people would simply want to imitate rather than follow. So he comes as a devotee, and he's so attractive as a devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so attractive. Almost 7 feet tall, and his long arms extended down to his knees, his lotus eyes extending to his ears, these sweet holy names, his holy names, present on his lips, chanting and dancing in great ecstasy, exhibiting the eight symptoms of love of God. Even the most fallen people were attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So let us follow him. And what does that mean? Following him means to follow him as a devotee and become a devotee of Krishna. So yes, Tri-Yuga Avatar, but the secret, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are saying, the secret is to understand that Lord does come, but in the form of a devotee. So when Yamaraj, who's one of the 12 Mahajans and a great devotee of Krishna, when he heard that his Ishtadeva means that of all the incarnations of the Lord, either Swayam Bhagavan or the various incarnations, you have one who, he touches your heart, he resonates with your heart. Each of the incarnations of the Lord has his own planet in Vaikuntha, and his devotees go there and they serve him in that capacity, in that mood. Of course, there's Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Prabhupada said that generally the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, being followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they aspire to go to Goloka Vrindavan and serve the Lord in the intimacy of divine love. It's a special feature of this movement. Although sometimes we find devotees who are in Vaikuntha mood, like some of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, they were Ram Bhaktas. And when they were like criticized a little bit, you're Ram Bhakta, you should be, Mahaprabhu said, no, no, let them be. Let them be, like Anupam. He was the brother, third brother of Rupa and Sanatan. Anyway, so Yamaraj said, he praised the child, he circumambulated him, and he departed to witness the pastimes of this great Acharya, Advaita Acharya. So when he was born, he was given the name Mangala. In childhood he was called Kamalaksha, and later when he was initiated by Madhavendapuri, he received the name Advaita, and later he was awarded the title Acharya by the Vaishnava community. Exemplary devotees or Vaishnavas, they're meant to stand out, not because they want to become well known, to become famous, but their example is what we need to follow to become Krishna conscious. So sometimes they're awarded titles, like when the three students of Srila Jiva Goswami, Narottam, Srinivas, and Shyamananda, when they graduated from the Tola, or the school of Jiva Goswami, as young men before they began their missionary activities, upon graduating, they received titles. They were exemplary students, and of course Jiva Goswami could see with his transcendental vision what they would do to carry on the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Narottam graduated, at his graduation ceremony, he got the title Thakur, Vaishnav Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur. Shyamananda is very studious. He got Pandit, Shyamananda Pandit. And because Srinivas Acharya was a little older, he was kind of a natural leader, he got Srinivas Acharya. So with these titles, they took off with the books to take them to Bengal. That was their first service in reciprocation to Srila Jiva Goswami. Because when you have your guru, he gives you knowledge, paripashana sevaya, and you have to render service and gratitude. You can never repay that debt, but you have to try your best. So the boys, they went on the first Sankirtan mission with the books which got stolen, and Srinivas Acharya found them. Anyway, the titles are there. So Advaita Acharya, everything he did was an example for us how to become Krishna conscious, and in particular serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is mainly through preaching. Through sadhana, we get boons, but through preaching, we get blessings. So when he was 5 years old, he mastered the Sanskrit alphabet. When he was 6 years old, he received brahminical initiation. When he was 8 years old, he had mastered the six branches of philosophy. And by 10 years old, he had completed his study of the four Vedas. That says a lot. You know, most of you are brahmacharis studying here. You know, by the time you were five, had you mastered the alphabet? And 8 years old, had you studied all six branches of philosophy? And at 10 years old, had you completed your study of the Vedas? No. But Confucius said the longest journey begins with the first step. So don't get disappointed. So one time, while Advaita Acharya was studying in the Gurukul, now why does he use the source of all knowledge? Krishna's the source of everything. Aham sevasya pavavo matta sarvam pavartate. He's the source of all that is material and spiritual, and the source of all knowledge. What does he have to go to the Gurukul for? To set the scene, to set the example. When the Lord comes, he's all often an ideal personality, like Ram, the ideal king, the ideal person, male person to follow, Sita Devi. The girls follow in the footsteps of Sita Devi. Out of his kindness, he sets an example. So the example is, you have to study in the Brahmacharya Ashram. Even if you have a master's degree or a PhD degree, you have to study in the Brahmacharya Ashram. This is the difference. This is the science of the soul. I was told that to join the Chaupati temple as a brahmachari, this is why I became a little intimidated to give a lecture there, to join the Brahmacharya Ashram, you have to have a master's in something or a PhD. I think all you boys probably have master's. I just graduated, barely graduated from high school. I don't know. I should be sitting there. Anyway, the Gurukul is important because there's the material knowledge, which is good up until the moment of death. But spiritual knowledge, we graduate into immortality, or back to Godhead. Once having gone there, we never come back. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam, it's the king of all education. So he studied, and there's one interesting pastime that, you know, in the Gurukul here in India, often they go outside and you're studying under a tree. I saw that here the other day. 20 or 30 Gurukul boys studying under a tree with their teacher. So in one instance, Advaita Acharya was his teacher with the other student. He was with the other students, and the teacher was giving a class not far from the Ganga and near some lake. And the problem was that in that area there were lots of thorny bushes. So the boys were just sitting in this little area which was cleared. But to get to the Ganga, to get to the lake, you had to walk across all these thorny bushes. And the boys were also noticing that there were lots of snakes swimming in the lake. So they were packed up tight around the guru as he instructed them in the science of Krishna consciousness. But in the middle of that nearby lake, there was a large, beautiful lotus flower. And from that lotus flower was emanating an intoxicating aroma. So at one point, the teacher, because teachers are always testing the students, isn't it? That's test, test, test. We're always being tested so that we can pass the ultimate test at death and remember Krishna. So the teacher was testing them. So he said to the students, could any of you boys go to that lake and bring me that lotus flower? So all the students, they said, no way. The path is full of thorny bushes and there are snakes in the water. No way, Guru Maharaj. That's not the right attitude, right? In spiritual life, even the most difficult instruction, we immediately accept it because we know it's good for our spiritual advancement. One time Prabhupada said, along with the instruction of the spiritual master comes the ability to execute it. This is a transcendental phenomenon that can only be experienced by the disciple. Along with the instruction comes the ability to fulfill it. Just like Prabhupada received the instruction from his spiritual master at their first meeting. He wasn't even initiated yet. He was just, quote unquote, a follower of Gandhi in school, university. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, wasting no time, he said, you look like an intelligent young man. Why don't you spread the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English-speaking world? At that time, India was dominated by the British, so preach to the British. But Prabhupada took that instruction, he kept it in the treasure chest of his heart, and at the appropriate time, a little bit older, he began the Bhakti Godhead magazine, and then famously later, it's all history now, with his translation of first canto of Bhagavatam, he came to the West, and he was successful. Above and beyond the call of duty. He not only preached in the English language, but his books were translated into French and German and Portuguese and Swahili and Zulu. So he went above and beyond the call of duty. Because he understood that point, that along with the instruction of the spiritual master comes the ability to fulfill it. So we should never hesitate whatever instruction we get. So all the boys, they did not understanding this, they said, no way! But Advaita stood up and he said to the teacher, if I'm ordered by you, I have no fear. That'd be a good thing to memorize. If ordered by you, I have no fear. And he jumped up and he ran across the top of the thorny plants, jumped into the water, pushed the snakes aside, and picked the lotus flower and brought it back to his teacher. The teacher was so amazed by who would eventually become Advaita Acharya, was Kamalaksha at that time. He said famously, without doubt, this child is the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Little did he know, he was the Supreme Personality of God, the source of all energies, but at least he appreciated this child is the energy of the Supreme Personality of God. Sri Advaita Acharya ki. Yeah. So later on in his youth, Advaita Acharya's parents, his father was named Kubera Pandit, if I'm not mistaken, Kubera Pandit, and Nava Devi, they departed this world. So he took advantage to travel to various holy places throughout Bharatvarsha, Bharat. We say India, but the original, one of the original names of India was Bharat. Bharat was a famous king, but it's also been interpreted in different ways. Bharat means in Sanskrit like light. So this is the land of light. You can see it's midwinter here. And we're just wearing a little chador and it's bright and sunny out. If you were in London or Paris or Warsaw, it's all dark. The sun doesn't come up till 8:30 in the morning. It sets at 3:30 in the afternoon. It's freezing cold. This is like a European summer. There's lots of light, but it doesn't just mean that. It means the light of transcendental knowledge by which we can become delivered from darkness to light, from ignorance to truth, from Krishna consciousness, from the material world to the spiritual world full of Krishna consciousness. This is the gift of India, is the knowledge that's contained in her scriptures, which has been safeguarded by the Sanskrit language through millennia. And our acharyas have dived deep into that Sanskrit, that treasure chest of knowledge, and have delivered it. Prabhupada has delivered it in appropriate form for people of this age to understand. Difficult concepts, very deep, esoteric, but Prabhupada took that knowledge and through his purports he presented it in such a way that even a layman can understand and take up the process of Krishna consciousness. So, after his parents left this world and departed, as is the tradition, you see in the lives of many acharyas, or in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How many years did he spend? So many years just traveling and visiting holy places. He went to South India, Dravidadesh, because so many of our acharyas, they come from Dravidadesh, from South India. Even today, the culture is more intact than it is in the north. Mahaprabhu went there not just to see the holy places, of course, setting the example to go to holy places and become purified, but to preach Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada also encouraged us to visit particularly those places which are dear to our hearts, like Vrindavan, Navadvip, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri. But if you have time also, Sri Rangam, Tirupati. These places are saturated with mercy, and we need as much mercy as we can get. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Saranagati, he speaks about the importance of visiting holy places. Because holy places, there's 64 main practices in Krishna consciousness, but five are most prominent. Chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, associating with Vaishnavas, and living in or visiting holy places. So this is the beauty of Bharat, of India. It's just full of, practically everywhere you go, you'll find some sanctified place. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's saying he hankered to go to these places, particularly those places that were associated with our Ishtadev, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he's the Yuga Avatar, technically we're Gaura Bhaktas. We say we're Krishna Bhaktas, yes. But in particular, we're Gaura Bhaktas, because no one can understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna without the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And no one can get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without first getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And no one can get the mercy of Lord Nityananda without going out and preaching to Jagai and Madhai. That's our process. So he says, Gaura Amara Ye Shabashtane Kola Brahmana Hange She Shabashtana Heribo Ame Pranayi Bhakti Se Sange. All those places where my Lord Gaurasundar traveled for pastimes, I will visit in the company of loving devotees. And this is our Kartik Vrat. When we go to Kartik, this is our Vrat. We go to Vrindavan, and in a group of devotees, we go out and we have bhajan, and we discuss the leelas that take place in all the holy places. Shivaram Swami, in one of his books, he describes, he says, he quotes that in Vrindavan there's 60 billion holy places. In Navadvip, Mayapur, and Puri, we just go and roll in the dust and have kirtan and discuss like this. So Advaita Acharya, one who sets the example, he went, and one time while on pilgrimage, he met the great saint Madhavendra Puri. Who was Madhavendra Puri? Madhavendra Puri introduced the first concept of the loving, intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna and their devotees in Vrindavan, especially the Madhurya Ras. And he met this great saint, Madhavendra Puri, and he studied the teachings of Madhavacharya under him. And later on, when Madhavendra Puri was passing through Shantipur in Bengal, he visited the home of Advaitacharya. And when Advaitacharya witnessed Madhavendra Puri's ecstatic love, manifested by 8 symptoms of love of God, Advaitacharya requested initiation from him. So Advaitacharya took initiation from Madhavendra Puri. Why in particular? Because Madhavendra Puri is one of the 3 persons who understands the Mahabhav, Mahaprema, the highest ecstatic love for Krishna, the most pure, unadulterated, selfless love. And there's only 3 persons who have that intense Mahabhav. One is Srimati Radharani, therefore she's in charge of devotion to the Lord. The other is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Madhavendra Puri. And it's interesting that Madhavendra Puri has an understanding of Mahabhava, because it's described in the 22nd verse of Gaura Gunadesha Deepika by Kavi Kanapura, that Madhavendra Puri is a Kalpa Viksha tree in Vrindavan. And you might think, how does a Kalpa Viksha tree understand Mahabhava? But we should not think, just like one time Prabhupada said, anyone who thinks that Mother Yasoda's love for Krishna is inferior to Radharani's love for Krishna, he's an aparadi, an offender. No, it's all transcendental. There's different varieties of love in the spiritual world that make everything complete for Krishna and satisfied for Krishna. Variety is the spice of love, the spice of life. So in the spiritual world there's different rasas, but we shouldn't think of one as inferior to another. They're all part of the Lord. Actually, Jiva Goswami describes all the different relationships that devotees have, Sakya Ras, Matsaya Ras. They're all serving the Madhurya loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So don't think a tree or a goat or a bumblebee in Vrindavan is something inferior. No, it's all there to give pleasure to Radha and Krishna. So Madhavendra Puri, it's described that as a Kalpa Viksha tree, he resides in Nidhivan. Nidhivan is a forest of in Vrindavan, very close to like Sevakunj. And Radha and Krishna, they come to Nidhivan for their very most confidential pastimes. And as the Kalpa Viksha tree, Madhavendra Puri witnesses these pastimes. Therefore he understands these deep loving sentiments. This is all kind of deep and esoteric, but sometimes we have to discuss these things. So, from Madhavendra Puri, Advaitacharya learned of prema. And it was that Vrindavan prema that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one reason he came to this world was to inform people of Vrindavan prema, not just Aishwarya Bhav of Vaikuntha, but he came to the world to reveal the glories of the love of the Vrashabhasis for Krishna. So from Madhavendra Puri, Advaita learned about prema, especially the love of the gopis. Chaitanya Bhagavat describes that in Navadvip, Advaitacharya, one time, I'm just stating as it's given, he danced in the mood of a gopi. He entered that mood to the chanting of the holy names, though he was always Mahavishnu Sadashiva. So one time in one of his pilgrimages, Advaitacharya was visiting Vrindavan, and he was staying near Sevakunj, the area of the Rasa dance, in a place called Kishorivan. When I was researching that, I thought, that's another nice name, Kishorivan. And that area of Sevakunj, that's where the Rasa dance takes place, and that is the area, well, that's the area in which Srila Jiva Goswami established his Radha Damodar temple, Sevakunj. And in one version, because there's a couple of versions, but in one version it said that from there, Advaitacharya went to Gokul. Gokul's closer to Mathura, and that's where Krishna had his baby pastimes. And while visiting Gokul, Advaitacharya found Madan Gopal, or who later became Madan Mohan. We have our temple here. You can almost see it through the trees, Madan Mohan. Originally that deity was called Madan Gopal, and Advaitacharya found that deity in Gokul. There's a couple of versions, but that's one version. And he brought that deity back and worshipped him at Kishorivan. And one time, while he was away on an errand, the Muslim soldiers came, having heard there was a deity being worshipped at Kishorivan, at Sevakunj. And they wanted to destroy the deity of Madan Gopal, Madan Mohan. That was the business of these tyrants. And with no one to protect him, on the little altar that Advaitacharya had set up, Madan Gopal at Kishorivan, at Sevakunj, in Vrindavan, no one to protect him, the deity jumped off the altar when the Muslims came, and he hid in the bushes. This is all described by Shivaram Swami in one of his books, which are thoroughly researched. And he hid in the bushes, the deity hid in the bushes. Like, whoa! And when the soldiers were searching the area, they were unable to find the deity which they wanted to break. So they finally left. But the deity remained hidden. Your Gopal, your Madan Gopal, your Madan Mohan here, we've just installed him, right? He was hiding in the bushes, shaking in fear, quote unquote. And when Advaitacharya returned, he saw that Madan Gopal, Madan Mohan, he wasn't on the altar. So he heard how the Muslim soldiers had come to destroy the deity which he had found in Gokul, and in a frantic search, he finally found the Lord in the bushes. And seeing Advaitacharya, the deity jumped into his lap crying. How big is that deity? I was told he weighs 2 tons. What if a 2-ton deity jumped in your lap? Squish. And Madan Gopal was shaking in fear, but Advaitacharya pacified him. It's the Lord pacifying the Lord. This is all inconceivable. And then the Lord told him everything that had happened. So to avoid keeping him in such a remote place, because at that time Vrindavan was just a jungle, remember it. Mahaprabhu had sent the 6 Goswamis to Vrindavan to find these deities, which had originally been established by Mrudrana, the great grandson of Krishna, but they'd been placed in different hiding places through the eons because there were so many invasions. So Vrindavan was just like a jungle. So in order to protect that deity in that remote place, Advaitacharya took Madan Gopal, Madan Mohan, to Mathura and gave him to a Brahmin and his family to take care of. And later on that deity was discovered there by Srila Sanatan Goswami. And that deity, Madan, then became Madan Mohan and became the worshipable deity of Sanatan Goswami, who eventually had a beautiful temple like replicated here, built for the worship of Madan Mohan. So there's some pretty transcendental information for all of you. It's also said that Advaitacharya, there in Kishorivan, he found a picture of Krishna that had been drawn by Vishakha. Lalita and Vishakha, they're the two eternal consorts of Srimati Radharani. So Vishakha Devi, she drew a picture of Krishna, which Advaita Acharya found. It's 5,000 years old, or 4,500 years old. And he used to worship that picture. But it's since disappeared, and no one knows its whereabouts. So if you're a transcendental treasure chest hunter, you might want to go to somewhere in Vrindavan and find the picture drawn by Vishakha of Krishna that was worshipped by Advaita Acharya. So much nectar is there. Upon returning to Navadvipa, after his pilgrimages, and prior to the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, Advaita Acharya got married. He married two ladies, transcendental personalities. His wife, one of his wives was called Sita Devi, and the other was called Sri Devi. And at the marriage ceremony, Sita Devi said of her husband, "He is the topmost of all men, and standing here, he is shining like gold." And Sri Devi said of her husband, Advaita Acharya, at the wedding, "He is the storehouse of all elegance and beauty in one form." So by Sita Devi, Advaita Acharya had five sons. That's described in detail in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And by Sri Devi, he had one son. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, I believe it's in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he, being a householder and being an acharya, teaching one how to properly conduct oneself in the grihastha ashram, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyasi. These are different ashrams that generally one goes through in Vedic culture. 25 years in the brahmachari ashram, 25 years in the grihastha ashram, 25 years in the vanaprastha, and then the last stage of life, sannyas. So there's rules and regulations to be followed as one makes gradual progress to these ashrams. So Advaita Acharya had some very nice instructions to the grihastha ashram, and I quote, "My people, please consider and act accordingly. These are the essential truths of the ideal householder. Regularly perform morning and evening prayers. Perform japa and sankirtan daily. Don't covet others' wives or wealth, otherwise you will suffer in this life and the next. Don't commit violence, but show mercy to all. Don't blaspheme others, but instead glorify all sadhus. Plant tulsi in your home. By performing sankirtan, all sinful reactions will flee and perfection will be achieved. Always engage in devotional service to Krishna without any doubt. Don't act for your own pleasure. If you lead your family members in the service of the Lord, then all pious and impious results will be removed." Interesting, all pious results will be removed. What is the result of pious activity? You're born beautiful, handsome, wealthy, educated, very nice. But you may become puffed up. You may become arrogant. You may become complacent. No urgency to become Krishna conscious. So the time of initiation, the spiritual master takes all our karma, our bad karma and our good karma. Let me think about that. All karma is revealed, blank slate, so there's nothing but Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey! So at that time in Navadvipa, all the devotees, the Gaudiyas, used to gather in the house of Advaita Acharya. And in these meetings, Advaita Acharya used to recite the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. And there was lots of kirtan. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. If that's all we did, that'd be enough. As demonstrated by sadhus in Vrindavan who chant 300,000 names of Krishna every day. 192 rounds. Intelligent, accomplished, successful men and women who renounce this world and go to the Dham
to spend their lives chanting the holy names. It's all you really need. One time Prabhupada visited one of my god sisters in the hospital in Mumbai. She had typhoid, I think. And she was trying to finish her rounds, and Prabhupada came in. She said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I'm so sorry. All I can do is just chant Hare Krishna all day." He said, "No, that's the goal." But because you Western boys or girls are so restless, I have to think of so many services for you to do. So as you grow older, you'll find that some taste comes because the process is authorized. Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is authorized. So the taste will come and everything else will become secondary. And you'll just want to sit and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. And it's the most powerful means. Kalir dosha nidhe rajan asti eka mahaguna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha parangajat. We get the mukti by chanting. In this horrible age, the filth of this whole age, ocean of faults, there's one good thing left, and that's the holy names. So as we grow older and become more purified, we realize that. And like last night, we had a nice program with the people from Jivan Mukti or Mukta? Jivan Mukti? Yeah, a nice society of persons practicing the Hatha Yoga here. And I asked them when we sat down, what would you like me to do? Should I speak or should we have kirtan? Kirtan! We have kirtan! Because you know, all day, om. But we acknowledged it's very nice to control the mind and control the senses. It's important. It's helped us. But they wanted some nectar. I said, have you done kirtan? Yes, we've done. Can you start now? So we had this womper stomper kirtan. They were like dancing all over. They were so happy and so satisfied. Gok prem dan harinam san kirtan yagya ki. So they would have kirtan. But at that time in Navadvip, which was and is a seat of spiritual learning, at that time practically no one was interested in bhakti or devotion to the Lord, which is the ultimate goal. They were studying logic, karmakanda, getting elevated to heavenly planets, yoga, mystic powers, jnana to merge into the Brahman. It's described nowhere in Navadvip could you hear the name Krishna. A seat of learning. What is the ultimate learning? Bhakti Vedanta. Bhakti or devotion to Krishna is the essence of all learning. But never you'd hear it in one name, Hare Krishna or Rama. So seeing this pitiful condition, and what's more, the common people were engaged in so much sinful activity, because unless you have that higher taste of spiritual life, then you're naturally going to go for the lower taste, because we're tasteful persons. We have this hankering for taste, for rasa, so it becomes perverted in the material world. So people engage in sin. People in this age are so unfortunate. In the Iron Age of Kali, men are almost always have short lives. They're quarrelsome, they're lazy, misguided, and unlucky, and above all, they're always disturbed. So what is their greatest misfortune? The environmental situation, the global warming, the possibility of war, the possibility of pandemics, meaning diseases going all over the world. Is this our misfortune? No, our greatest misfortune is that we've forgotten Krishna. And because we've forgotten Krishna, we're here. And if we remember Krishna, we go there. So all our misfortune can be alleviated immediately if we go back home, back to Godhead. All problems solved. So how do you get back to Godhead? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. We call that a panacea. Panacea is a very powerful word in English. It means a solution to all problems. Everything's solved by chanting Hare Krishna. This is what's missing.
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to say, there's no scarcity of anything in this world. The only scarcity is Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said one time, if only 1% or 5%, I heard this lecture yesterday, of the people become, the whole situation in the world would change. So this is the vision of pure devotees. They're always thinking seriously how to deliver people from the clutches of Maya, because that's the business of their Lord. Like father, like son. As the Lord comes here with the intent purpose of delivering people, as his pure devotee like Prabhupada comes here with the intent purpose of delivering people, that becomes our intense purpose as well. Like father, like son, like father, like daughter. Krishna is who he is in the spiritual world. Prabhupada is who he is in the spiritual world. But when they come here, who are they? They're advocating the Yuga Dharma, the preaching. And if we help them in their mission, they feel some gratitude, despite our lack of qualifications. They feel some gratitude and they bless us. We're the only ones they have left to propagate the Sankirtan movement. So devotees become empowered. And the more pure we become, the better instrument we are in the hands of the Lord. So seeing the situation as it was and as it is, Advaita Acharya thought as follows. If Krishna himself appears in order to distribute the cult of devotional service, then only will liberation be possible for all people. A special favor is a concession for this age. But the process is very simple. Concession, just like a condemned person can be relieved by a special favor of the president or king. They call that amnesty. In my country, sometimes presidents, when they're going out of their position, their term is over, they give amnesty to some prisoners in the prison. Not the really bad ones, but someone who may... The prison sentence was a little severe or something, you know. They give him amnesty. So despite our sinful conditions, the Lord comes and he grants amnesty. But to everyone who wants to take up the process, and even if you don't want to take up the process, the chanting is becoming so widespread, just like Advaita Acharya, or let me say, Srila Haridasa Thakur. He would chant 300,000 names of the Lord every day. 100,000 names he'd chant in his mind, like Manasa Puja. 100,000 names he'd chant softly for his benefit. And 100,000 names he'd chant at the top of his lungs for the benefit of all creatures, be they moving or non-moving. So this is the mood. Vaishnava is not satisfied to go back home. Even when Dhruva was being delivered, going back home, he said to the Vaikunthavasis in the flower airplanes, "Where's my mommy? Where's my mother? I'm not going back without her." "No, but she's..." "I'm not going back without her." So by the mercy of Dhruva, his mother was delivered. So by the mercy of Prabhupada, we're being delivered, and we owe it to the Sampradaya to take some people home with us. So what Advaita Acharya did is he took a Shalagram Shila, self-manifested form of the Lord found in the Kali Gandaki River in Nepal, and he worshipped it very nicely with tulsi leaf and Ganges water. But the real thing is, when we're doing the puja, it's the mood of the puja. It's not just the ritual we go through. That's to help us focus. But it's the mood of the worship. It's like that in anything we do in Krishna consciousness. It's the consciousness, it's the mood. So his mood is he was praying to the Shalagram Srila, praying to the Lord to please come into the Kali Yuga in a suitable form to give mercy to the people of this age. And he was so intent on his purpose, he was screaming, "Please, Krishna, come down into the ocean of Kali Yuga and propagate the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama." So his compassion, his mood was so intense that his appeals broke through the covering of the material world, went through Vaikuntha all the way to Goloka, where Lord heard him.
An ordinary human being can scream and be heard two blocks away. But when Mahavishnu and Sada Shiva combined in the personality of Advaitacharya's scream, it pierces the coverings of the universe and goes to the spiritual world. And therefore Shastra concludes, Krishna Avana Kare Saghana Hunkara Hunkare Akrishta Haila Brajendra Kumara. By loud cries, he, Advaitacharya, invited Krishna to appear, and this repeated invitation attracted Lord to descend. It's like we have that saying, knock, knock, knock on heaven's door. It's a famous song. So if you knock on someone's door long enough, hello? I wanted to say something. So here, Advaitacharya, incarnation, Mahavishnu, Sada, Shiva screaming, Krishna, please appear! Those prayers were heard by the Lord, and he appeared. Krishna Vanam Krishna Krishna Mishamitapam Vishnu Parsha. And he appeared along with his astra, not the Sudarshan Chakra, not the Gada, the club, but he appeared with his astra. Kali Kali Nam Rup Krishna Avatar. The incarnation in this age of Kali is the loud chanting of Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
So factually, there's several reasons why Lord Chaitanya appeared, to taste the nectar of Radharani's love for him, that's another class, to establish the Yuga Dharma, and to answer the call of Sri Advaitacharya. And by the grace of Advaitacharya, Mahaprabhu appeared, so all of us are very indebted to Advaitacharya. Therefore we're here, acknowledging and expressing our gratitude and our commitment to this appeal for Lord Chaitanya to descend to play our small part. Many hands make small work. This is the age of congregational chanting of the holy name. Goshtananandi. Bhajananandi is very nice, but Goshtananandi is better because more people benefit. What would the world be like had not Lord Chaitanya descended to give us this remedy for our suffering, this medicine of Harinam? It's solving the problems of the world. People are not, they're not perceptive of that, but it's working. And it's not understood by a materialistic person how the Hare Krishna movement is saving the world. We often say, Prabhupada told Gurudas, this Hare Krishna movement will save the world in its darkest hour. So we can see the darkness, but a materialistic person may not see how this movement is shedding light on the problem. But that can be understood by one who himself has been delivered. We've all been delivered to whatever degree by the chanting of Hare Krishna. So we understand, as it works for me, it will work for anyone else in the world, irregardless. We were also little jagayad madais. And here we're sitting in clean cloth with shining faces, hankering to take prasadam and then serve and then do kirtan. We don't have those longings like we had before, those needs we had before. Whatever need we have, we keep it to the minimum and we're maximizing our Krishna consciousness. How is this transformation taking place? By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva. So we are followers of Advaitacharya. That is our pride. That pride doesn't diminish our spiritual nature, no. The cowherd boys, they're proud to declare Krishna as their best friend. That type of pride is okay. The only thing that's not present in the spiritual world is envy. Envy of Krishna, envy of others. We can be proud, not of our own accomplishments, because everything is done by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, but we're very proud to be members of this movement and propagating the movement. Studying here in the Brahmacharya Ashram to one day go out and loudly chant the holy names and explain the philosophy. And like the Panchatattva, we're so enthusiastic. You read how Mahaprabhu went out every morning with his devotees throughout Nadia and chanted and danced, and how he preached in South India, and how a
Advaita and Nityananda, Haridas Thakur, Mahaprabhu himself was such enthusiastic, active preacher, second generation, Narottam, Srinivas, Shamananda, and then so many, Vishwanath, Baladev, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gorkhashtar Das Babaji, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and the Senapati, our spiritual master, Shirupad, very active, always engaged. If you've got time, chant Hare Krishna, Prabhupada would say. We're all active in sharing this panacea, this solution to all problems. So we have to pray that we can remain as instruments in the hands of our acharyas. That is our only worth, servant of the servant of the servant, in our own humble way, helping this mission continue to save the world, and praying very intensely for that opportunity. Just like Srila Prabhupada, in his earlier years, he used to regularly visit the home of Advaita Acharya in Shantipur. And later on, when he was there, it's described by the priest. I don't know if that priest is still living, but he would mention how our Prabhupada would come to the house of Advaita Acharya in Shantipur regularly and chant the holy names. In the Gaudiya Math, when Prabhupada came, he was a bhai in those days. Although he was not senior, there were many sannyasis. They always asked him to lead kirtan and give class. He said one time to some of my godmothers and godsisters, "You'll be very happy to know that when I was a young man, I was a leader amongst my friends." So when Prabhupada joined the Gaudiya Math, he was grihastha, so out of etiquette he wouldn't come forward so much, but always wanted him to lead kirtan. He had the musical ability and he had the bhav, he had the devotion, which melted the hearts of the devotees. And he was also a good speaker. In fact, when it came time, he was proposed for initiation. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati commented, "Yes, I'll accept him. I have noted him for those abilities." So he would come to, as a grihastha, he would sometimes visit Shantipur. He was, business, traveling here and there, but his business would take him sometimes back home to Calcutta. He'd go out to Shantipur and he'd just sit there and chant in front of the deities at Shalagram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And then the pujari, because pujaris often in India, they commit themselves as a lifetime. They're trained as young boys and they worship the deity their whole lives. Many times I meet pujaris, that's my travels in India. "How long have you been the pujari?" 50 years, 60 years, going on 72. Wow. Talk about commitment. So this pujari was elderly and he said that then Prabhupada disappeared. He said he wasn't coming anymore. That was obviously around 1965 when Prabhupada went to America. He said, "For a long time, your Swamiji, I didn't see him." And then at some point in the 1950s, which is when Prabhupada took sannyas and was living in Vrindavan in Radha Damodar temple, he said after some time in the 1950s he came back and he was sannyasi. He said he was a sannyasi. He'd been gone a long time, because Prabhupada had his business, and then he took sannyas and he went to Jhansi and he was trying to preach. So then, after a long time, a boy came back as a sannyasi, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And of course, this is in the 50s, before Prabhupada went to America. And he said he would come and sit here and chant the holy name and cry in front of the deities. He would cry in front of the deities. And he said, that pujari said, that one time he was shedding tears, and before he left, I went up to him and I said, "Sir, what are you doing here? Why are you, how is it that you're crying? And Prabhupada said to the Pujari, I've been given a mission to go to the West. My Guru Maharaj has ordered me that I have to go to the West, can you imagine, and spread Krishna consciousness. It is impossible, but I have to do it. Therefore I'm coming here before going to the West and praying for mercy that I can be successful in this task. And how did that prayer manifest? He's chanting and crying, begging for mercy. This volume, this greed, is what we require to be successful. Interesting, he's not crying necessarily for prema. He's crying to be able to fulfill the instruction of the spiritual master. And by so doing, one gets perfection, prema, and Krishna consciousness. This is the process. So I'm just chanting here and praying for some mercy I can take on this task. The Pujari related that. And then he disappeared again for a long time. And then later, Prabhupada's shikshas came. Prabhupada's disciples came to Shantipur. And you can imagine the Pujari. Prabhupada was coming as a grihastha and chanting. Then he came praying for mercy for his mission. Then he went on the mission, and who came back? The success of his mission. His disciples. You know that famous pastime where someone asked Prabhupada at a darshan, Swamiji, what is your miracle? Can you make the powder come from in your hand like Mr. Sai Baba? Can you make the golden chain? Prabhupada said, no. He said, my miracle, this is my miracle. He waved his hand. He said, all these Western boys and girls sitting here, this is my miracle. They're from the West, from Yavanadesh, Malachadesh, but now they are Pukka Vaishnava Brahmanas. This is my miracle. So that miracle became manifest to that Pujari of Shantipur. That the disciples came. And they chanted and danced in great ecstasy, and they begged for mercy to continue the mercy of the mission of their Guru Maharaj, our Śrīla Prabhupāda. So that is our mission. So on days like this, we should pray like Prabhupāda prayed in front of the deity, having the mantle, having been given the mantle for continuing the preaching by our Guru Maharajas, by Prabhupāda, by our disciples, by Panchatattva, by Chaitanya Mahāprabhu. We should pray for that same mercy to continue this Sankirtan movement too for the next 10,000 years. It's described in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will go for 10,000. That should be our prayer. On these days we should make appropriate prayers, because just like deities have different pastimes and different devotees have different specific missions and pastimes, and our founder Acharya, we know what is his pastime in this world, what is his mission, we should pray to facilitate Prabhupada in that mission, in the mood of Advaita Acharya's prayers to Krishna to appear, to deliver the Yuga Dharma to every town and village. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. We should take advantage, every day is special in the life of a devotee. Every day is special, because we're reforming the nine processes of devotional service, so our lives are full of mercy. But there's special, special days. Like there's prasadam and there's mahaprasadam. So there's some mahaprasadam today that we can pray with the same intensity of Sri Advaita Acharya to continue this great mission. That should be our mood on this particular day. Sri Advaita Acharya ki, Sri Panchatattva ki, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Guluk Premdan Harinam Sankirtan Yagya Ki, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra Ki, Transcendental Book Distribution Ki, Govardhan Echo Village Ki, World Rajaskan Ki, Back Home, Back to Godhead Ki, Take All the Fallen Conditioned Souls with us Ki, Guluk Premanande! Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Jai.